Hey gang, let's do this thing! Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the home of free speech. And go there to republicbroadcasting.org and keep free speech alive. Click on the donate button, send shekels. Also, you know it, you know the routine, but I'm going to do it anyway. Are you ready? Co-certified, the app. Let's be non-kosher certified, NKC. Go to nationalbugle.com. Look at the great headlines that Mark Dankoff and myself post with our snarky comments about the articles. And then scroll down the page a bit. Click on the co-certified link. Download the app or just go straight to the site. You can use it online for free. And that's a good thing. So today is Wednesday. This is a day for the Jeremy and Patrick show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. And it's the Patrick and Jeremy show. You should
whatever. Either way, apparently Ronald Reagan said that there's no limit to what we can accomplish if we don't worry about who gets credit.
True. I mean, we are a guiding light in a sea of media lies and talmudry, are we not?
I said something like that on the Tuesday show, right? Didn't I?
I heard that. It was very clever, yes.
Yeah. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. And were we going to start with Donald Trump? Because we had a very good take last week from William from Montana, who I guess, you know, maybe our expectations for Donald Trump were inflated beyond what's realistic. And maybe he is delivering on the most important things, and maybe we're not appreciating it. What was it that...
I, for one, expected Trump to grow a little thin mustache and, you know, start, you know, sing hailing from his little platform there when he did the news briefs. But I think a lot of us expected a lot more.
I was expecting him to turn his comb over into a mohawk and spike it and start singing Sid Vicious and Sex Pistols songs. That would have been pretty awesome.
Oh, Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice punk rock reference from the 80s, Patrick. I'm very impressed.
From the 70s.
Based.
Because Sid Vicious was dead by the 80s.
Yeah, true. You got me there. I was just a child back then. But, nice reference, though. So William did have a very hot take on the Trump presidency. And I think that we are overlooking some things here. Yeah, Donald Trump has shaken everything up, regardless of what his intentions were. And regardless of whether you think he was a show from the beginning or whether you think maybe he's incompetent, you out there in radio listener land, regardless of what you think, what is the outcome? Everybody has been able to see the man behind the curtain in the land of Oz, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been able to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, that's right? Not pretty.
So he has succeeded in that sense.
And, you know, it's a bigger deal than we thought. I've said many times as a former political science professor how much I have learned about the way power is really distributed in this country. I remember having, 3 years ago, I guess it was before Trump was elected. Maybe it was right after he got elected, but this giant shouting match over the phone with David Duke, and he was saying that the judiciary is more important, more powerful, and I was saying it was the executive branch that's more powerful, and I said, you know, how many divisions does the Supreme Court command, right? But we're seeing, at least in the context of the current year, that the, and it's not so much the Supreme Court, but the lower courts, these lower federal courts, have been running ramshod, if that's such a phrase, over Donald Trump. So this is a reference, I think, to the H.G. Wells novel, The Invisible Man. I think it's from that. Maybe it's from something else. But, you know, The Invisible Man, he could go around being all invisible and nobody could see him as long as he was naked. But But if you threw a bunch of flour on him, and isn't that what the police wound up doing, throwing a bunch of flour, and then all of a sudden you could see his outline? And we've got this crypto power. And what Donald Trump has done to a large extent is thrown a bunch of flour. You know, he may seem like he's flailing, but I think we're seeing much more clearly than we could have before exactly how power, and not just us, but other people, it's becoming clearer. And that is a big deal. And maybe even Donald Trump didn't know where the power was. Maybe there's going to be some learning coming out of this. I don't know. I'm not necessarily counting on it. But for the normie, don't you think a lot of normies are, I mean, more and more, aren't people saying something's wrong? I don't know exactly what it is, but obviously something's wrong.
Yes, and it's more and more white working class people, the kind of people that would join us, that would share our point of view. If they could be properly reached, they're thinking something's wrong. And, you know, it's unfortunate, though, that a lot of them are resting in the fact that Trump's just in office and that they don't have to do anything else. You know, it is good that Trump has exposed the inner workings of our politics, but we certainly don't need these people just resting on their laurels. You know, we need to get them up and active. Certainly, we've seen how powerful the Kritarchy is, right? Mm-hmm. How that one little judge can issue a national injunction. I didn't even know what a national injunction was until 6 weeks ago when you and I discussed it on the show. Mm-hmm. One judge mm-hmm. can make a decision that affects the entire nation. I didn't know that could happen.
And you know something? I don't know if it's simply the power of the judiciary or if it's this kind of constellation of power. If a judge had issued an injunction against something that George W. Bush, or maybe Obama, or maybe Clinton, or maybe Reagan, they might have just been able to ignore it. Because how many divisions does that judge command, right? Would these judges be able to get away with their injunctions if they didn't have Congress, you know, the Democratic Party in Congress ready to impeach, the Republican Party in Congress ready to fold, and the entire Zio media ready to hype any nonsense, just ready to hype complete BS? And so, you know, it might not be any one thing, but this constellation and the interactions between them. But we're learning. What do you think?
Excellent point, Patrick, because you're demonstrating, you know, what you just said is how we're seeing how the political system works, how power is held in this country. And, you know, let me just play Dornod's advocate, Blump's advocate real quick. I don't think he was ready for that. I don't think he knew exactly how to deal with it. He dealt with it the best that he could. Whereas maybe Vladimir Putin, as he rose to power, you know, he's ex-KGB. He knew how the government in Russia worked. He knew the ins and the outs. When he came to power, he kind of knew the ropes a little bit better. He was maybe a tougher guy in his own way. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. So.
And, maybe that would explain his success and, you know, the fact that the workings were just a little bit different in Russia. He's learning how the system works.
Trump is a complete outsider. Putin was a complete insider. So Putin had gone into the KGB, I guess right out of college, and had been in it. He had been stationed in East Germany for many years. And then after the Soviet Union broke up and he came back and he was, I guess he was the assistant to the party boss. To the mayor of Leningrad or St. Petersburg. He was somehow the aide to the most powerful person in St. Petersburg. I don't know if exactly, maybe he was like high up in the Communist Party before the breakup of the Soviet Union in St. Petersburg. But he had some connection there. He was an insider. He knew how things worked. Now, the big difference between Putin and Trump is I don't think Putin could have come to power on his own. He was placed there. He was placed there by people who made a big mistake. He was placed there by Jewish oligarchs. And Trump, he willed himself into that position through the force of his own celebrity and fortune, and also probably luck. There's luck maybe jumping on the immigration bandwagon that what's her name, Queen Anne, Ann Coulter had created.
I would argue some skill in his speechwriter, Miller, Stephen Miller, mm-hmm. who is a Jew, who's very familiar with white nationalist talking points, and who I believe was the key, even more than Bannon, in teaching Trump how to tap into that populace. I would argue that Miller was a key.
Miller was important. There's a lot of people who are important. In fact, you know, he became president by the skin of his teeth, and a lot of people can claim credit because he just barely made it. Did you see? You know, I started the show by probably misquoting Reagan. There's nothing that we can't accomplish if we don't care who gets the credit for it, something like that. And I got that. I didn't. That's not anything I knew. I learned that a few days ago, apparently from something Ann Coulter had said in a podcast criticizing Steve Miller. Somebody sent me an article. I guess it wasn't you. Must have been somebody else. But
I saw that. I read that article. Apparently Miller is not as ideological as maybe we thought he was, and he's just in there to subvert.
So Ann Coulter seemed to think that and Ann Coulter could be completely wrong, and she's been wrong about all sorts of things throughout her career. She seems to think that Trump could have appointed a lot better people. He could have appointed, I guess, Chris Kobach is the person she mentioned specifically. But Miller, was he in the way? Was he not supportive? Does he want to be the big fish in the room? I don't know. But she was very critical of Steve Miller, which kind of surprised me, but I don't know what's going on in there. Knows?
I mean, the combination of what Trump did have is what got him in office. So, I mean, you know, that's water under the bridge. Interesting take that you have about, you know, how Putin had the knowledge, he had the skills to take power once he was placed there. He had the skills to know what to do, but he didn't have the means to get into power. Trump apparently had the means to get into power, but now he doesn't have the skills as to what to do.
Right.
Very, very interesting. What if Trump were prior CIA? Certainly he would have a lot, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a leg up on the establishment.
Well, one of the reasons I think it's so important that Trump and Putin establish a good working relation is because Putin could give Trump some guidance. And I'm not talking about being a puppet, but, you know, Putin has a lot of savvy on this in this kind of thing. And Trump came in as a complete outsider. And I think that probably played, aside from the overall, you know, the basic Jewish animosity, the traditional Jewish animosity towards Russia and Russians, ethnic Russians, I think that the power structure, Jewish power structure in the United States, wants to keep Trump away from Putin. And the Russia hoax got so much traction, partly because, wow, we got to keep these two apart. We got to keep him away from Putin, because if he learned from Putin, oh my gosh. And, you know, the thing about Putin is he didn't have any public support. He didn't have any base. He didn't have any power base. So what did he did? As soon as he came in, he took advantage of, and some people would say he even false flagged these terrorist attacks, these bombings, fire bombings in apartment buildings around Russia, Moscow in particular, but I think other places, there were these terror attacks, and he blamed them on Chechen rebels and launched a war against these Chechen rebels from Chechnya down in the Caucasus Mountains, and people rallied around the flag. And he became extremely popular. And then with that he used that popularity to do other things, to get policies passed that help people's lives, but also to chase these oligarchs, chase some of the oligarchs out of Russia, put some in prison, chase some of them out, and then get the rest basically to agree to a truce. And
whoa, Russian oligarchs?
Jewish oligarchs. Jewish
anti-Semitic canards there.
Jewish oligarchs. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about the anti-Russian canards there.
So, speaking of false flags and boosting popularity, what do you make of the article that I sent you on how Donald Trump has withheld intelligence from Pelosi and Schumer about taking down this supposed ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi?
Why would he tell them anything? Why would he tell them anything?
There's so much to unpack here in this article. Number one, like, this whole thing is fake and gay. That's just number one.
It is. There's an acronym there.
We all know that the Mossad, like, you know, empowers ISIS. And, you know, John McCain supposedly was photographed with the leader of ISIS and with a Mossad agent, and they were the same person. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
the know photograph, sure it was the, I think it was the leader of ISIS in Libya.
In Libya.
Yeah.
ISIL, yes. I stand corrected.
Well, and there was a connection because when Gaddafi was murdered with U.S. air support, and this all has to do with the Benghazi stuff and Ambassador Christopher, what's his name? A lot of the weapons from Libya, a lot of Gaddafi's weapons, supposedly, were shipped off to Syria for ISIS. Yes. And that's when we see the rise of ISIS.
Well, I mean, my point is that, like, do we really know, like, that this person was a leader, and did they really get killed? Did Osama bin Laden get killed? I mean, was that all just a big gay op?
Yeah, who knows? Because what do they do? Then they say they dumped the body at sea within 24 hours.
Yeah, and then this al-Baghdadi, his body was burned beyond recognition. Of course.
Well, you know, but Trump, he did campaign on making al-Baghdadi dead again.
Yes, making al-Baghdadi dead. If he didn't, he should have. Let's put it like that.
It's the MATA agenda.
MATA. Yeah. So there's that. Okay, the fact that this whole thing just sounds fake and gay. But let's just pretend. Let's live in whatever real Rhinelander, and just let's pretend that we believe all this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would Trump tell Pelosi and Schumer anything? In this article I sent you, Trump himself said that Washington leaks like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
Washington leaks like I've never seen before, said Trump.
I don't think there's any precedent for this. For what had was who would have been the Boehner? What was the guy's name from Ohio? Something Boehner, who was the Boehner. Yeah. Boehner. But it was spelled Boehner. Boehner. And Boehner. That Wiener guy told Boehner to own his last name. Did you? You know, the guy, Hillary Clinton's lesbian girlfriend's husband.
Anthony Weiner
went on the Jon Stewart's show and told whatever his name was, Stephen Boehner, just to own the name. Okay, hey, we're going, but I don't think they were told in advance of the supposed Osama bin Laden kid. But we're at break time. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back. We are back. So I'm not trying to take National Bugle into the gutter, but sometimes it's hard for me to remember these names. So I think the listeners know who we're talking about. Huma Abedin, wasn't that her name? And yeah. She would sleep in the same hotel rooms with Hillary Clinton. There's a lot of weird stuff going on there. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You had Wiener and Boehner or Boehner, I don't know how it's pronounced. They're probably big Buttigieg fans. Peter okay. Buttigieg?
Yeah, yeah. But I judge, or Booty Judge.
Right. I'm sure they'll vote for him. I don't know. It's all fake and gay.
What was it?
Even if this operation was real, I mean, and when there are real operations, the president doesn't have to tell Pelosi and Schumer anything. I mean, apparently in the article they're talking about how the Russians knew before they did. Again with Russia.
Okay, first of all, the Russians didn't create ISIS, okay? Pelosi and Schumer, yeah, they kind of had a role in it. It's amazing. I mean, our CIA and the, frankly, the Jewish power structure and Israel. So why would you tell Chuck Schumer, the guardian of Israel, that you're if it was true, and who knows? I mean, I don't know about this, but and now the media is making a big deal because Trump was kind of mocking this guy, saying that he was whimpering and he died like a dog. And I got to tell you, Mr. T really took offense to that. I mean, because dogs are very brave, you know, like they
yeah.
you get a little Chihuahua. A little chihuahua, if somebody comes near the house, he's out there barking and nipping at the heels. They're brave.
Yeah, Snoopy, my dog Snoopy, wasn't that thrilled about the reference either, but he's getting over it. He's in his room chewing on a bone right now. I think he'll be all right. But so I think that even if this was fake and gay, and let's just assume that it was.
Good dog.
He said it was fake and gay. So, okay, let's assume it was. Trump is using this probably in the same way that Putin used those incidences that you referred to. You know, to it's just
rally around the flag.
He wants to rally up the base. Uh-huh. He wants to rally up the Boomerwaffen, right?
The Boomerwaffen.
Yeah, he wants to rally Boomerwaffen and get them real good and rallied against the Muslims. Because Trump is still Trump is still in the. He's still playing the anti-Muslim card.
He's 9/12/2001? Yeah. Is he still in the 9/12 movement?
Hey, Trump, 9/11 called and they want their memes back. You know what I'm saying, dog?
I was about to say something like that. Great minds think alike.
So yeah, he's trying to get his campaign moving by killing the leader of ISIS. I mean, I'm not faulting the guy. You go, Donald.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know whether or not Putin these fires in these bombings in the apartment buildings in Moscow, was it a false flag? I have no idea. I doubt it. But if it was, it's not like I'm suggesting people do false flags. But if you look at how much good that Vladimir Putin has done for his country, I mean, he's called the savior. They call him the savior. This is what Stephen F. Cohen says, that's been his nickname since really early on. It's the savior, and he was. So
what's a few apartment bombings, in light of doing better for Russia?
And I doubt it was a false flag. Whether, even if it's not a false flag, did he pick out these Chechen rebels when maybe it was something else? I don't know. I don't have that level of expertise on the matter. But what I can see is that, on an aggregate level, on a macro level, Putin has done really well for Russia, and the Russians love him.
Yes, and we're reaching levels of shilling for the KGB that shouldn't even be possible.
Hey, but, no. Well, that's my job. That's what I get paid the big bucks for.
Joking, point taken.
Putin, yeah, I know. You got to be careful with the jokes because, President Trump makes a joke like that. Hey, Russia, if you're out there listening, look for the rest of Hillary Clinton's emails.
Yeah.
And then you literally have Democrats in Congress who want to issue articles of impeachment over that.
Hey, Xi, why don't you in China, why don't you guys investigate Biden and his son as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Chop, chop. Chop, chop. Take it, take it, tong, tong, tong. Yeah. And then everybody just goes crazy.
Reaching levels of boomer racial insensitivity that shouldn't be possible in the current year.
Shouldn't even be possible in the current year, yes. Yeah. So I think we've exhausted the topic of Trump and Jewish power. I did want to mention something else about Trump and Jewish power if we have time before the break. Did you notice, how the curtain has been pulled on Jewish power? Notice how at first, Trump went to Sheldon Adelson's group and said, I would like your support, but you can't buy me, so, mm-hmm. Right? And then Adelson was supporting the candidates against Trump until it was very clear that Trump got the Republican nomination, and then all of a sudden Adelson started mm-hmm. coughing up the money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if for the general election. So we're going off to the break, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back, and so Jeremy, you were just commenting that during the Republican primaries in 2016, when Trump had Republican opponents, Adelson was funding those opponents. But once the primaries were over and then headed into the general election, Adelson at least pledged. I don't know how much money he actually gave to Donald Trump, but he certainly pledged money to Donald Trump. So he changed his tune.
Yeah, I mean, once Adelson saw that Trump secured the nomination, then he started. It was hundreds of millions, actually. So I just wanted to make this little note, this little side note, just on Jewish power. They're not all powerful. You know, Adelson wasn't able to stop Trump from getting the nomination. And you know, Adelson and Trump had some past, right?
I mean, what is their past?
Well, because Adelson controlled all the casinos in Vegas. So you don't pour a slab of concrete without going through the mob.
And the mob in Las Vegas is Jewish, very literally. I mean, the mayor
In the whole country, I would argue, is Jewish. But like the upper level, yeah, at the level that Trump and Adelson are, I mean, I would imagine they had dealings before.
Yeah, because Trump, there's a Trump Hotel right there in Las Vegas, and there's a bunch of Adelson hotels, so they're right there on the strip together.
I mean, that thing did not get built without going through Adelson. I seriously doubt it. So, no, I am speculating just a bit, but I think my speculative comments are based in some factual observations, right? And here's the point. Adelson couldn't just stop Trump from running, so they're not all powerful. mm-hmm. even with all their money, because Adelson's worth more than Trump. But what Adelson did was, once he saw Trump got the nomination, then he got in there, started shelling out hundreds of millions to the Republican Party. Then the establishment Republicans started coming to Trump and be like, hey, we like all this money we're getting, guy, you know. Maybe you ought to cool it on the immigration. Cool it on the anti-immigration.
Well, and right? I think with Adelson, I think Adelson is more pro-Israel than pro-immigration. And I think the bulk of American Jews, as far as they're concerned, Israel's in the bag, so they don't worry about it. And they're more focused on immigration because Israel's in the bag. But I think Adelson, and I could be wrong, but I think he's on an ever-increasing bag for Israel.
Well, no, that's true. But all Jews, whether Zionist or just strictly liberal, they're all Zionists. But I know what you're talking about. Like, Adelson's more of a right-wing, Israel first, who cares about immigration, closer in line to Steven Steinlein, probably. But all Jews, like, started sweating and tugging at the collar when Trump was talking immigration control. And probably the Republican Party is like, hey, Trump, guy, you know, we want to keep getting this money from your Jewish buddies. You know, why don't you cool it with the xenophobic remarks there? Mm-hmm. And if you notice, as soon as Adelson gave money, Trump started giving speeches and backing off of his immigration stances a little bit.
Hmm. Hey, here's a fun fact regarding Las Vegas and Jewish criminals. So for the past 20 years, the mayor of Las Vegas has either been Oscar Goldman or his wife Carolyn Carolyn Goodman, but they're married to each other. I guess they have Carolyn Goodman and Oscar Goodman. Okay, Goodman. It's Goodman, not to be confused with Goldman. So now Oscar Goodman was literally the lawyer for Meyer Lansky, the most notorious.
Oh God!
Yes, literally his lawyer, and for a whole bunch of other Jewish and non-Jewish criminals like Lefty Rosenthal, Fat Herbie Blitzstein. So
it's like Schindler's List over here.
So okay, that's just a fun aside, but yeah, that's Las Vegas for you. So okay,
well,
yeah,
I think we exhausted Trump and Jewish power and how it works. You know, when they can't stop, they subvert. I think that's probably what we've learned. From one of the biggest things we've learned from the Trump presidency, they get in there and they pal and buddy up and they use their money to influence and subvert. But a good pivot. This is a big pivot mm-hmm. over to the Dems. Mm-hmm. Sent you some interesting articles on Tulsi. What's going on with your internet waifu there, Patrick?
I don't know. I looked at the two articles. So let's see. We've got the one article which was about, let's see, what was, well, one's about Tulsi and Hillary Clinton Wall Street.
Running for re-election.
Hmm?
She's not running for re-election.
Oh, okay. So that's one. Yeah, so she announced she's not running for re-election. She is a member of the House of Representatives. And one of the reasons that you don't get many House members running for president as a rule is they're up for re-election every 2 years, whereas senators are up for re-election every 6 years. So two-thirds of them in any given presidential election are not up for re-election. And plus, there are some states like Delaware, for instance, and I think Texas is one, where you're allowed to be on the ballot for two different offices. But I don't think that's the case in Hawaii. So, what happens with members of the House of Representatives is if they get to a certain point in the primary process, well, now they've got to decide, am I going to be on the primary ballot for president or for my reelection? You know, I can remember 1988, Dick Gephardt, who was a member of the House of Representatives, was He was making some progress in the primaries, but he wasn't doing that well. And then he just dropped out because he hit the deadline where he had to choose. Am I going to be on, which ballot am I going to be on, for House of Representatives or for president? Yeah, so that happened. You know, governors run a lot, and most governors have four-year terms, but the four-year terms are mostly, their elections are mostly off, you know, the off-year elections, the midterm elections. They're not usually, it depends. Some states are, but most of the, so that's something that the, yeah, the Tulsi would be running into. But also, you know, if you say, I'm not going to run for re-election, it means a couple of other things. It means I'm really serious about, you know, it's like a message. I'm really serious about running for president. But, you know, who knows what else? What do you think?
Well, also, if it looks like that she's losing, and perhaps that she is, in her, you know, seat in the Congress, well, maybe this would save her from a crushing defeat, and she could kind of bow out gracefully, saying, hey, I, you know, gave up my seat in Congress to concentrate on the president, presidential run.
Yeah.
Very honorable.
That is honorable. So the thing about House of Representatives is the, you know, there tend to be about 650,000, you know, population of somewhere around that. In her state, it might be a little bit smaller. But basically, they're bite-sized election districts. And it doesn't, it's not that hard. If somebody steps out of line in terms of Jewish money donors, if they say things about Israel, and she hasn't said much about Israel, but she's said a lot about Iran and a lot about Russia that the Jewish money bags don't like, she could easily find herself opposed by a Hawaii is a pretty democratic state, so it would be, you know, a primary opponent. And I don't know if a primary opponent's already in the works, but yeah, that's a point. You don't, you know, it doesn't look good to be especially to be primaried out of your seat if you're an aspiring national politician. So, right. You know, there is some.
And she's done her. She's done her job, right? She is you know, nationwide and internationally, she's known as the candidate who could be a Russian bot that is talking about us getting out of the Middle East. I mean, that's what we wanted her in there for, is to talk about her anti-war stance and how we shouldn't be involved in these foreign affairs.
Yeah, now there's another way of looking at it, though. So you've got, I believe, Maisie Hirono. She is the totally retarded current senator from Hawaii. You know, Hawaii has two senators. One is this Jewish guy named Brian Schatz. Oh, God! And Schatz is not up for re-election, but Maisie Hirono, who made an absolute fool of herself in the whole Me Too thing and the Kavanaugh hearings, made a complete fool of herself. So she is up for re-election, and it may well be that if Tulsi's going to drop out of the presidential race, she wouldn't want to go back to the House of Representatives, but she would want to run against Maisie Hirono. That's a possibility. And, you know, it's not impossible that she could challenge Maisie Hirono, not in the Democratic primary, but as an independent in the general election, because she's, you know, she's raised her own profile so high. And even though Hawaii is usually pretty reliably Democratic, there have been Republicans elected statewide. I know you had, what was her name? I think it Lisa Lingle. Oh, God! Another Jewish woman who was elected governor as a Republican not too long ago. And back in the day, oh, God, what's the guy's name? Frank Fossey. He was at least mayor of Honolulu, and mayor of Honolulu, the whole island of Oahu, which is about, you know, 80% of the population of Hawaii, votes for the mayor of Honolulu. And Fossey was originally a Democrat, but I think he switched to Republican and won. I think. So it could wind up being a three-way race that Tulsi could win. So those are all possibilities for her.
Tulsi could challenge her to a wetsuit competition, right?
No, we don't want to see Maisie Hito in a wetsuit.
Well, I mean, that would be a sure victory for our gal, but just saying. But no, Tulsi's been the topic of Rush Limbaugh. He's talked about Tulsi more this week than he has his entire,
And probably favorably, right? I haven't listened, but is it more or less favorable?
Very favorable. Yeah, I mean, at least neutral.
Uh-huh.
But he's somewhat defensive of her. I mean, yeah. She got out there. We memed this woman out there and her anti-war talking points. So kudos for us, my dude.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And speaking of something that everyone's talking about, what's up with this Joker movie? Are you ready to pivot over to this, or did you have more on Tulsi?
You did send that one other article on Tulsi meeting with Wall Street people.
Ooh, we should cover that.
Yeah, we should cover it. Because I'm not just a shill. And I don't know what to think about it, but... Well,
let's just dig into it.
You dig into it first.
So this happens right after Tulsi has her catfight with Hillary bags under my eyes, cocaine and cheese pizza Clinton.
Bags under her eyes and bags of money stashed under that giant tent she always wears.
Bags of money and coke.
Does she snort? I don't want to get too gross, but does she snort the coke off of what's her name? Who's her lesbian girlfriend? Who am I? Aberdeen.
Oh, yeah. Wiener's wife, Aberdeen. Yeah.
Yeah.
snorted the cocaine off of Aberdeen's belly.
Okay.
Again, we take National Bugle and death.
I'm sorry to RBN. I apologize. John Statmiller, I won't do it again.
Okay. Just don't let your children listen to this last segment. But anyway, so Tulsi, after she got into this vicious political catfight with Clinton and just totally decimated Clinton on Hannity, did you see that?
No, I didn't, but I'll have to go back and check it out.
Tulsi wrecked Clinton, R-W-E-K-T. She wrecked Clinton on Hannity and just tore into that old bag. right around that time, Tulsi has ended up meeting with executives from Wall Street. What was the outcome of this meeting? We don't know, but since the article, Tulsi Gabbard to meet with Wall Street executives as potential donors. Are they trying to buy your internet waifu? Are they trying to buy our gal? What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. But who knows? So there can be a variety of ways of looking at this. One would be, this is straight up they're trying to buy her. Another would be, well, the other Democrats are so insane and are, they're talking about unrealistic things. They're talking about, for instance, Medicare for all. And Tulsi's version of it is not the same as, say, Bernie Sanders' version. Even though she might say Medicare for all, it's not the same thing. So there might be some of that. Or another way of looking at it is, you have, and it's not that unusual that you, I don't know, maybe they're thinking of her either as a third party or something like that. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see. And we'll cover it and we'll try to be honest, even though, I've got my own confirmation bias and everything. But we can pivot to the Joker if you want.
I was just going to mention that seems to be like everybody's seen the Joker. I have not seen the Joker. I don't know that I will.
But you saw the real Joker, though, right?
Saw the what?
The real Joker. Or you know about the... I mean, this Joker is...
The real Joker is Jack Nicholson. Everybody knows that. Jack Nicholson is the real Joker. The year was 1989. I was 13. And Batman became a cult following amongst the youth, the Batman movie with Keaton and Kim Basinger. Oh man, that movie was great. And Jack Nicholson was the ultimate Joker. literally, people, Heath Ledger is gay. I mean, like, was gay. Honestly, that Joker was, like, lame, okay? And the 1960s Joker,
Cesar Romero, well, I mean, he was a comic book character. And
yeah, but
and the villains, the villains in the TV show were kind of funny, lovable villains. You could have a favorite villain. I kind of like the Penguin, frankly.
Well, Jack
and everybody liked,
walked the line.
Everybody liked
Jack
Catwoman.
Nicholson, what's that?
Everybody liked Catwoman.
Well, Catwoman was hot. That's,
she was hot.
I mean,
completely.
When you're 12 in 1960 and Catwoman struts on stage, I mean, I don't blame you for liking her. Whatever.
All right,
I'm just saying that
we're going to break, but we're gonna continue this on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
And we are back, and we're talking about the Joker and Penguin and Catwoman, who was hot.
She was hot, but Jack Nicholson, we were talking about the Joker and the different portrayals. And the new Joker movie, from with the clips that I've seen clips of it, and I've heard analysis, and it's just kind of like, dude, we don't want to like delve into the psychosis of the Joker and figure out like what toys he played with when he was a kid. Like, give me a break. The Joker is just a crime boss that rose to power. Jack Nicholson played him the best. Hey, kid, ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? That's what I ask all my victims. Jack Nicholson, like, that was his line.
Did they play the 1972 hit Dancing in the Moonlight in the background when he said that?
No, because then he would have been gay. Totally. Okay. Sorry. No, Nicholson, in the Batman movie in 89, Nicholson was a young criminal who killed Bruce Wayne's parents. Now, this is not in the comic books. Like this is not Batman, like official Batman lore, as it were. This was in the 89 movie, but it was a very interesting twist. And so Batman runs into the Joker, you know, 20 years later, and says, oh, you killed my parents, right? Anybody that hasn't seen the 1989 Batman, that's the ultimate. Like, there's no gayness in it whatsoever. I haven't found any. But anyway.
You know something? You might think you're seeing gayness in the TV show, but apparently, who was the guy who played Batman and Robin, that they were engaging in all sorts of shenanigans in their dressing rooms, and it wasn't gay. Oh, they're not the dynamically gay.
Yeah. No, and I'm not saying they were total womanizers, dude. No, I can't think of his name either. I don't really want to Google him. I guess we could.
He was a fixture on Family Guy, wasn't he? He the mayor of Quahog?
Yeah, I mean, how can you blame them? I mean, they were just surrounded with beautiful women.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We are. We still have a minute or so left. So, do you have any final thoughts on Batman?
Well, Dancing in the Moonlight may have been hit back in 75, you know, when Donna Summers was all the rage. But in 1989, the artist formerly known as Prince put out the Batman album. Mm-hmm. And that album was totally lit, my dude. Okay. We were all like wearing our Batman shirts in eighth grade and listening to Prince. Sorry, but I listened to Prince back then. Sue me.
Hey, Prince had some good stuff. He had some good stuff. What was it? Party Like It's 1999 and
some Little Red Corvette and Purple Rain. He did a whole album dedicated to the Batman movie. That's how much Batman and the Joker was like a cult following in 1989, and now it seems like it's happening again. It's kind of cool.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. We're out of time, but thank you, Jeremy, for coming on, and I look forward to hearing from you next week for more of the Batman and Jeremy Show, or whatever it's called, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.